Blog Talk Radio.
This is JJ Bomber. You are listening to Well Armed Radio.
Well, good evening, sheepdogs. Welcome to Well Armed Radio, where freedom is our best friend. Thank you for joining us in our weekly, vigorous, relentless, and many times ruthless pursuit of freedom. We are broadcasting live from the extraordinarily well-armed studio in New Berlin, Wisconsin. My pleasure to speak with the most informed gun owners in the state. That would be you guys. You are your community's finest. With a face for radio and a voice for silent news, my name is Nick Clark. I'm the president of Wisconsin Carry and the host of Well Armed Radio. And I encourage you to be a part of the show with your calls, or by commenting in the chat on the Blog Talk Radio site, or I'm going to try to keep one eye on the Well Armed Radio MeWe page. I didn't do a good job of that last week, so I'm going to try to do it this week, mostly because I think I've been seeing these notifications pop up from my web browser that Flash is going away. And I think Blog Talk Radio's, I know it did. I the chat function on Blog Talk Radio, I believe, runs on Flash. So I don't know what that means for after the first of the year, I should pay more attention. I don't know if it's Chrome that's not going to support Flash anymore, or if it's Internet Explorer is not going to support Flash, or Microsoft Windows is not going to support Flash. But I keep seeing, I've seen this message somewhere that something that Flash is no longer being supported after, I think it's like December 31st or January 1st. So I don't know. Excuse me. I don't know if I don't know if Blog Talk's still going to use the chat, the Flash. I don't know if people will still be able to use Flash. I'm just not that into the whole tech piece of it, but we'll figure it out as we go. So, like I said, I will try to keep one eye on the Blog Talk Radio bad habits. The Well Armed Radio MeWe page, which is MeWe.com/P/WellArmedRadio, and that'll get you through there. Do have my buddy Lon is in tonight. Lon from Wausau, great to have you in. Hope you're having a good week. Hope you had a good week. Hope you had a good weekend. And you know, some weeks I have just a chock full of topics. Last week was one of those. I had just a bunch of topics, and then other times I just feel like I throughout the course of the week, nothing just really hits my my interest button. I'm looking here, yeah, and everything from last year. I think the only thing from last week I didn't get to was I was I was going to mention Recall Hagedorn and that idea and that concept, but yeah, this week I didn't have a lot. I only had a couple things this week. One of them was, and then I just poked around real quick on the Wisconsin Carry group on MeWe and came up with a couple more to talk about. But yeah, it's same old with you know, everything going on with the presidential election fraud. You know, I've been so pleased to be able to watch Newsmax. I don't pay for cable. Why would you pay for crap propaganda? But it's been, of course, I say that, and some of these things are on cable. Newsmax, One America News, those are on cable. But I've been so pleased to be able to watch Newsmax on my smart TV. So I'm so sick of yelling at the TV. I'm so sick of just the saturation propaganda from network news. And then I'm talking from local network news to the national news programs. I mean, it's just, it's bad. I don't have to tell you it's bad. You know, it's bad, but it's just terrible. It's just terrible. And it makes you feel like, you know, I've said this before. One of the things about the Tea Party back in 2010? One of the things about the Tea Party that was so comforting was it made you feel like you weren't alone. I mean, you see all those people going to rallies and you thought, holy cow. I mean, because before that, the only people that rally were liberals. And so when you see all these people, it just tells you that, wow, I mean, there is, you know, there is a constituency for freedom out there. So that was something that was good to see. Watching news, seeing the vote totals that President Trump got in the last election, that's also comforting to see. And it tells you, I mean, there's, you know, 74 million plus people out there who get it and who are really pissed off, who are frustrated. And then you see how many, the percentage of people, I think it was like 77% of Republicans believe the election was stolen. So in that sense, you know that you're not alone, but any place you go in media, whether it would be news, local news, network news, whether it would be pop culture, anything like a talk daytime talk show on TV, whether it's, and again, I don't watch that crap, but like The View or, you know, who knows what, even stuff like the Kelly Clarkson show. I mean, I have never really seen that show. I mean, I've seen a YouTube clip of it. But, you know, anybody in media, they have to toe that. There's no room for conservatives in the pop culture media. You'd be canceled if you were. So even the ones who might be conservative, even the ones who might have some conservative leanings, you don't hear from them. All you get is the standard liberal bullshit propaganda lines. But late night talk shows, the late night comedy shows, which used to be comedy shows, now they're just propaganda, political propaganda outlets. That, and it's just, there was a few things during Trump's presidency that were just, It's going to sound overstated to say this, but there was a few things during the Trump presidency that were life-changing for me. And by that, I mean just your routine, your life's, I used to love, at the end of the day, to watch the late-night comedy shows. I like Jay Leno. I used to enjoy watching it's the end of the day. You flick that, you're getting ready for bed, at least for me, doing my, pre-bed chores and my pre-bed snack. I mean, I eat so much. I was, eating right before I go to bed. So about 10:30, I'm usually cooking a turkey burger to eat and getting stuff ready for the next day food-wise. But I used to love to turn on Jay Leno. And at the end of the day, you get a nice little chuckle. His monologue usually had a couple funny jokes. Even when it was George W. Bush's presidency and he kind of made fun of Bush all the time for some stupid stuff, it was lighter hearted. It wasn't hard hitting political crap. It was, and it still was annoying, but it was, but at the same point, Jay Leno made fun of Bill Clinton mercilessly to the point when Bill Clinton, I think he had him on a show or something. He was joking about that he had, done a joke or two, Jay Leno, but he kept it funny. That's something I've done for my whole adult life. I mean, since I was, 18. I mean, I remember in college flicking on, I don't know if I really watched it before then, but yeah, sometime, maybe it was late in high school, I started watching, it was still, Johnny Carson was still on. I started watching The Tonight Show and Johnny Carson was still on, who was a pro at what he did. And then when Jay Leno took over, I actually didn't like Jay Leno at first. I just didn't like his delivery style. I didn't like the way he delivered jokes and his punchlines and stuff. But it kind of grew on me to where I'm like, okay, I started to, warm up to Jay Leno. But once and it was bad before the presidential race, leading up to the presidential race. I can't remember when I stopped watching. But of course, Jay Leno retires and then Jimmy Fallon. Well, there was the Conan O'Brien fiasco, and then Jay comes back, and then Jimmy Fallon takes over. And so I don't remember exactly when I stopped watching. I think it was just prior to the election, or maybe it was just after. But I had stopped watching Jimmy Fallon because he was just annoying. And I started watching Jimmy Kimmel because he was pretty damn funny. But then Jimmy Kimmel started going full on political shit. And again, I can't remember if that was, I think that was actually after Trump was elected. But watching the late night comedy, I mean, that was my way to go to bed. I mean, you have a nice little lighthearted chuckle before you go to bed watching their monologue. And I mean, and they used to be funny. They used to have some good jokes, some duds, but some good jokes. And it was just, gosh, it was a great way to finish your night. And, then it just turned all political. After Trump was elected, it just turned 100% political. And I couldn't stand watching it. It just pissed you off. And so you go to bed pissed off every night instead of going to bed with a nice little chuckle and, lighthearted and, and comedy can do that. That's a great thing about comedy. And I think some of the comedians used to acknowledge that. But now comedy has just turned just rank political and to the point that I can't even stomach it. I haven't seen a monologue. I mean, if I'm in the other room and Jimmy Kimmel comes on, I get up as quick as I possibly can, go in. Because even though I don't have cable, I get high def over the air. I used to think that was anonymous, but then you realize when you got a smart TV, the smart TV gives your viewership statistics unless you opt out of it or something, which I don't know if I have or haven't. I probably have not. But it gives your viewership statistics over to the networks, so to the rating services, so they're capturing what the over the air viewers are watching, because cable they know what you're watching, but over the air they generally didn't, unless you were a Nielsen family or Nielsen household where you fill out the rating, the book that tracks you, the diary that tracks your viewer what you watch. But I don't want to show up as a statistic for those pieces of garbage. So I turn around and the minute, if I'm in the middle of something on my computer and I hear in the other room, Jimmy Kimmel comes on, Jimmy Fallon comes on, boom, I'm up and changing that damn channel as quick as possible so that I don't show up as a viewership statistic for those efforts. But anyway, so but that was like life changing, and it was just frustrating because there was nothing. That was something that was a part of my, you know, bedtime routine for, let's see, I don't know, 20 plus years, 25 years. So, I mean, again, is it the end of the world? No, but it was just, it's a bummer. It was just, it's things you used to enjoy and now that you can't. So same thing with the news. Used to love watching the news. And I'm bringing this back to where I was going with this. It's so nice to be able to watch Newsmax over my smart TV and just to see someone who you can agree with, someone who feels the same way you do, someone that makes you feel like you're not alone, someone that gives you information that, that you don't get from the mainstream, lamestream, fake news networks. So, yeah, so that's one one thing that's been a comfort is to find Newsmax and One America News. Newsmax I can watch on the smart TV. One America News I can't. I can watch it at my fiance's house. She has cable. But, yeah, anywhere else you go, I mean, it's just saturation propaganda from network news, local news, national network news, local network news, any daytime talk show, the late night comedy shows, any award show, any pop culture stuff that involves musicians or actors or anything. It's just rampant, rank, saturation, liberal propaganda. So it's just so nice to be able to turn on Newsmax and just see something other than, and even Fox News. I don't have Fox News because I don't have cable, but I would go to the Fox News channel online, the Fox News website, because that's where I'd go there daily. And I still do go to Fox News website, but even Fox News, as people have known and seen, I mean, they are massively, have made a massive shift since Rupert Murdoch sold the company or turned over control of the company to his sons. It's just, it's moved hard to the center, some would say to the left, or left to center. Actually, not left to center, but hard to the center, which is left. Newsmax, .com, OneAmericaNews.com. Those are now on my daily click through places to go look for news. So yeah, it's just, there is some little bit of refreshment to see some conservative angles on TV. Makes you feel like you're not quite so alone, but yeah, other than that, just it's a bummer. I mean, the even before the last 9 months of lockdowns and unconstitutional bullshit, it just, I don't know. It's like loss of the innocence isn't necessarily the best characterization, but it's the country just doesn't feel like it did even just a few years ago to me. And that's just disappointing. It's a bummer. It bums me out, affects my mood, but you know, it is what it is. We trudge forward. So, but the first thing I was going to talk about today was, there was it's an opinion piece that was in the Chicago Tribune. I saw it rerun through Tulsa World. But it was an opinion piece from the Chicago Tribune. Daylene Glanton was the author. And here's the piece. I'm going to read this to you and then I'm going to comment as we go through it. But the headline, the Kyle Rittenhouse case is about vigilante justice. Let's just hope it doesn't prevail. No one in Kyle Rittenhouse's family, I'm going to read from this editorial now. No one in Kyle Rittenhouse's family seems to understand the gravity of what he did. At least they won't admit it. We'll start right there. I mean, the dude's in jail. Well, now he's out on bail, but he was in jail, $2 million bail. I think the family understands the gravity of what happened. You know, let's keep it real. Back to the editorial. The 17-year-old killed two people and wounded another. Someone in the Rittenhouse family should be remorseful for that, but so far, all his mother has done is blame the victims. Though it may or may not be true, it is a smart defense to claim that Rittenhouse shot the men in self-defense during a protest over a police shooting in Kenosha, Wisconsin. Wendy Rittenhouse has every right to defend her son with every bit of diligence she can muster, but it is selfish to refuse to at least express sorrow that two people are dead. Beginning with her interview with the Chicago Tribune last month, Rittenhouse has tried to rewrite the narrative of her son's ruthless vigilantism during an anti-police brutality rally in August. Okay, so right there. The vigilantism supposedly took place during an anti-police brutality rally in August. The editorial writer here seems to be acknowledging that the riots and the anti-police brutality rally are one and the same, because they didn't say that that Wendy Rittenhouse's son's vigilantism took place during a riot after a police brutality rally. They acknowledged that it took place, that Kyle Rittenhouse's, what they're terming vigilantism, which I don't, but vigilantism took place during an anti-police brutality rally. So by that nature, they're acknowledging that the looting, the rioting, the burning shit was part of the anti-police brutality, quote, rally. So that's an interesting admission there, although not intentional, perhaps. Back to the editorial. She wants us to see her son as an American hero, but most of us see him for what he really is, a coward and a bully who tried to hide his weakness behind an AR-15 assault-style rifle. So I'm going to stop right there again. She wants us to see her son as an American hero, but most of us see him for what he really is, a coward and a bully. Okay. Daylene Glanton, I have not seen, and I wouldn't give a shit if I did, but where he's drawing this notion that, quote, most of us see him for what he really is, a coward and a bully. You know, objection, Your Honor, that assumes facts, not in evidence. I don't think that most of us see Kyle for what he really is, a coward and a bully. There's a shit ton of people who see Kyle as an American hero, and some very wealthy people. The MyPillow founder, what's his name, Lindell, because he put up some of Kyle's bail. Is it Ricky Schroeder, the guy from, oh, shoot. I never watched the show. I forget. He's an actor, famous actor. You know, these aren't rogue conspiracy theory, log cabin in the mountains living, you know, type. These are mainstream. I won't say everyday Americans, because not everybody's is a actor or a billionaire company owner. I think Mike Lindell's a billionaire, maybe just a millionaire, multimillionaire. But you know, these are notable people who feel that he's a hero, and I think that. So I don't know what the percentages is. Maybe it's 50-50, maybe it's 60-40. Who think that Kyle's a hero versus, I mean, I'll be honest, from people that I've talked to, I would bet the over. I bet that the majority of people think he is a hero. You wouldn't see that believing the news, but from people I've talked to and people I talk to outside of the gun world, I go down to the marina where I keep my yacht, and I chat with some of the people that work there, who, there's a few ladies that work there. They're not political people. They're not, you know, one of them I know is a gun owner. One of them isn't. And, one of them I know is a gun owner. One of them just, I think, I don't know. I kind of think she might be a liberal, but they were, after this happened with Kyle Rittenhouse, they were in August, they were supportive. They thought it was a shame that he was being charged. So, I mean, that's anecdotal, but it is, I mean, I've seen a lot of anecdotal evidence to suggest to me that I wouldn't be surprised if the majority of people do see Kyle Rittenhouse as an American hero. But yet this editorial writer here wants to create their own reality. If he wants to say what he feels, fine. But to say most of us see him for what he really is, I wouldn't write an editorial and say most of us see Kyle Rittenhouse as a hero, even though I think probably they do. But I have no basis for that. But this Daylene, I don't know if that's a guy or a girl, doesn't care. Going to just try to create that false reality from right there. Back to the story, back to the editorial. Rittenhouse told WISN, this is Wendy Rittenhouse. Wendy Rittenhouse told WISN 12 News in Milwaukee over the weekend that her son went to Kenosha because protesters were rioting and looting. He was among several armed civilians who patrolled the streets and positioned themselves on rooftops overlooking the protesters as if they had dominion over them. Give me a break. They're on rooftops overlooking the protesters because they're trying to protect property. Wendy Rittenhouse goes on to say, back to the editorial, he was there to help people, she said. He went there, spent the night at a friend's house the night before. They went and cleaned up graffiti. He was always helping people. She insists that the video of her son shooting three protesters proves it was self-defense. A court will eventually decide whether the shooting was justified, but there are some things we know already. Kyle Rittenhouse is young and irresponsible, but he is no hero. Again, this is an editorial, so he's welcome to express his opinion. I completely disagree. I mean, I think Kyle Rittenhouse was young, amazingly principled. I don't know if a lot of 17-year-olds feel compelled to go on the conservative side of things. I mean, you see, when you know, young, dumb liberals that are willing to, you know, rebels without a cause, protest anything. And not that Colin Rittenhouse wasn't protesting, but just to take up, you know, to go take action. Again, maybe it is a young and dumb thing. I mean, I would have loved to go on to Kenosha to help, but I don't want to put myself in the middle of that shitstorm. You know? So, I mean, I got to give credit where credit's due. Kyle Rittenhouse, again, maybe it's the fact that he's young and dumb and doesn't have a lot of obligations in life. So you have a little bit more of that ability to be, I don't want to say reckless, but a little bit bold and daring. But it took courage to do what Kyle Rittenhouse did. It took courage to go there. And we know why. The night before, you saw the mattress store owner trying to save his mattress store from being burned to the ground, 70-year-old mattress store owner, trying to protect his store with a fire extinguisher, people coming out of it. Someone comes up and bangs him over the head with a brick and knocks him out cold. And when people see that, they can't bear to just sit and watch and do nothing. It moves people to anger and to action. Now, that said, Kyle Rittenhouse went there. He had his medical kit earlier in the night. Everybody acknowledges. He did an interview with news people. He said that he was there with his medical kit to help people. There's video of him earlier in the day cleaning graffiti. He was definitely there to help people. There's no reason to think otherwise. So back to the editorial. A court will eventually decide whether the shooting was justified, but there are some things we know already. Kyle Rittenhouse is young and irresponsible, but he is no hero. Again, I disagree. I think he's young and amazingly passionate and a hero. His mother conceded to the Tribune in November that her son should have been home in Illinois that night. She has repeatedly suggested that the protesters should have been home as well. No one should have been there, she said. The protesters should not have been there. Also, my son should not have been there either. Guy goes on to say, the editorial here, she is wrong about the protesters. Protesters and counter-protesters are integral parts of our democracy. Our nation thrives when people are allowed to take to the streets peacefully and stand up for what they believe in. I'm going to interject again. Well, you got to say, Mr. Dalene Glanton, again, I think this is a dude. There was nothing peaceful about what went on the first two nights in Kenosha. Nothing at all peaceful. During the day, the protests were somewhat peaceful. I don't recall if there was any of the violence that took place during the day, but as soon as the sun went down, as soon as that curfew hit, these protests were unlawful. They were violent. They were not peaceful. They were not legal. They were not lawful. And no part of that, no part of burning down businesses, no part of torching cars, no part of any of that is an integral part of our democracy. The editor, back to the editorial here, he says, when demonstrations get out of hand, it's the job of the police to bring them under control. No self-appointed civilian overseers who are convinced of their superiority, not self-appointed civilian overseers who are convinced of their authority. Well, again, epic fail then, because when the demonstration, Mr. Glanton, the author of this editorial, the police were nowhere to be seen. They were protecting the government buildings. The neighborhoods were left to fend for themselves. And you ask anybody that was there, you read any accounts from people who were there, those people, those neighborhoods were, there was, it was, you, I've seen people who were there. I've listened to their interviews. They characterized it as literally feeling like they were in Iraq. It was lawless. There was people chasing the police out of neighborhoods, some of these radical professional protester types. The police, so when demonstrations got out of hand, the job of the police to bring them under control. Well, ain't that special coming from a guy who probably also wants to defund the police. But again, if that was the job of the police to bring them under control, then I asked this author of this editorial, so then what happens when that doesn't happen? It's the job of the Second Amendment to give people the rights when the police aren't there. But I don't see any mention of the Second Amendment in this guy's editorial. Oh, I'm going to sneeze here. Apologize. So Yeah, there's just some very warped thinking here. When demonstrations get out of hand, it's the job of the police to bring them under control, not self-appointed civilian overseers who are convinced of their superiority. Well, actually, Mr. Glanton, the Second Amendment is there for when the police do not bring demonstrations under control. The Second Amendment is there for people when police aren't there, whether a riot or alone walking to your car at night in a parking garage and you're attacked and beaten to a pulp and left to freeze, to have your head freeze to the concrete deck in your own blood. And I'm thinking of Carly Bowden here, the nurse from Freidert, who was savagely beaten and left to die for hours in that cold parking garage. So so that is not self-appointed civilian overseers. That's exactly what the Second Amendment is. It's so that civilians do have superiority over evil, over bad. Back to the editorial. She, Wendy Rittenhouse, is correct that her son should have been home that night. He was patrolling the area as though he had been granted authority to bring into line people who were angry that Kenosha police had shot and injured another African-American man, Jacob Blake. That's vigilantism. It's designed to stifle democracy and intimidate people to the point they are afraid to speak out. Well, holy how ironic is that? Talk about hypocrisy. It's designed to stifle democracy and intimidate people to the point they are afraid to speak out. Who in this country is afraid to speak out? It's not the liberals. It's not Black Lives Matter. They have no problem speaking out. They get every platform they want to speak out, from a local network news to a national network news, any late night talk show. Those people have the people who support Black Lives Matter, the progressives, they have every opportunity to speak out. They get celebrities and athletes and actors and actresses and musicians and to speak out as well. Intimidated? You wonder who's intimidated? It's Trump supporters that are afraid to put a bumper sticker on their car because their car would get keyed. Intimidated. Yeah, Kyle Rittenhouse is intimidating people from going out and pro. Give me a break. Give me a break. The cancel culture, we know who the cancel culture comes after in this country. We know where democracy is being stifled, and it's not from the right, it's from the left. Back to the editorial. Kyle Rittenhouse's voice was not strong enough to silence the protesters, but an assault-style rifle swung over his shoulder could. Rittenhouse didn't have the courage to stand up for his beliefs in a counter-demonstration, so he cowered behind a gun and sought to force those with whom he disagreed into submission. Well, again, we're gonna have to unfortunately have that one played out in court here, Mr. Glanton. But Kyle Rittenhouse used that gun in self-defense. The person who he stopped from lighting a car or a dumpster on fire that was mad at him for trying to keep the peace, that person who went after Kyle Rittenhouse, he certainly wasn't respecting Kyle Rittenhouse's decision to protect innocent property and to stop the destruction of the property of innocent business owners. Here he goes on to say, that's not what heroes do. Heroes bravely stand up for what they believe in. That's exactly what Kyle Rittenhouse did. He bravely stood up for what he believed in. He believed that innocent people shouldn't have their businesses burned to the ground, that 70-year-old mattress store owners shouldn't be knocked over the head with a brick and knocked out when they're trying to put out fires and arson at their businesses. Kyle Rittenhouse went there to bravely stand up and do what Tony Evers wouldn't do in not sending the National Guard for two nights, what the police wouldn't do or were ordered not to do in protecting the neighborhoods and stopping these looters and rioters and arsonists and whatnot. Back to the editorial. There's nothing unusual about a mother defending her son if that's how she chooses to look at it. Wendy Rittenhouse has every right to insist that if her son had not fired his weapon, she would have been the one planning a funeral. It is understandable that the 45-year-old single mother of three would hug her son and tell him she loved him. Parents don't stop loving their children because they mess up. Instinctively, she wants to keep him out of jail and close to her. She is wrong, however, to brush over the role her son played in the deaths of Joseph Rosenbaum and Anthony Huber, 36 and 26 respectively. Her anger at authorities and prosecutors pursuing homicide, attempted homicide charges against her son, as well as those who have painted him as a worthless vigilante, is misplaced. Well, again, his opinion. I disagree. Her lack of empathy for the families of the victims is disheartening, and it is shameful for her to suggest that the victims were responsible for getting killed because they were in the midst of a protest against criminal injustice. Again, bullshit. The people who the first person shot was not in the midst of a protest against criminal injustice. The first person who got shot was in the midst of lighting stuff on fire and then attacking Kyle Rittenhouse, trying to throw a Molotov cocktail in the form of a bag of flammable liquid on him and then chase after him because he wasn't he was preventing this individual that was, I believe, Joseph Rosenbaum from burning down and torching innocent property. And as far as blaming victims, rewind a bit further. Her lack of empathy for the families of the victims is disheartening. Well, the lack of empathy by the left for the 70-year-old mattress store owner is disheartening. The lack of empathy by the left for the furniture store owners who watched their business get torched to the ground, that was disheartening. The lack of empathy from the left of the people in Kenosha who are scared to death for several nights straight is disheartening. And what's shameful is it's shameful to suggest that the victims who were killed didn't have culpability in their own demise. Back to the editorial. Blaming the victim is designed to divert attention away from the men who were killed or injured and lift the killer to celebrity status. In some circles, it has worked. Well, here's one of them in this circle. Kyle Rittenhouse has been wrapped in a protective cloak of Trumpian conservatism. They have surrounded him like a shield, protecting him from opposing forces that insist that justice be served. His trial will be as much about the right to free speech in America as it is about the killing of two men and the injuring of a third. Well, what the trial really will be about is the right to self-defense in America. That's what that I'm interjecting here. That's what that trial is really going to be about, the right to self-defense in America, not free speech. Free speech is not in jeopardy here, certainly not for the left. Free speech for the right is in jeopardy. Ask me how I know. Facebook isn't a government entity. So, but between, you know, as far as free speech goes, it's the only people whose free speech is being impeded is conservatives. Back to the editorial, the vertical sent a clear message. Either Americans have the right to protest for what they believe in or they don't. It will either give license to vigilante justice or cut it down at the knees. If Rittenhouse ends up walking free, it will signal to those of us who believe in free speech that America is not as free as we thought it to be. Let's rephrase that. The verdict will send a clear message. Either Americans, I'm interjecting now, the verdict will send a clear message. Either Americans have the right to self-defense or they don't. It will either affirm the Second Amendment right to self-defense and to protect yourself, or it will enable thugs, looters, rioters to have carte blanche to carry out their mayhem because everyone will be afraid to protect themselves, to protect their businesses. So yeah, just, and that's an editorial, this guy, Delene Glanton, but I mean, what a joke, what an absolute joke. And but here's the other thing. Now, what I said to people is, you have to remember, one of the first things that Kyle Rittenhouse was accused of was being a white supremacist. That came out the day after everyone from Channel 12 News in Milwaukee, and I'm sure others, but I saw Channel 12, Gwen Moore, Congressman Gwen Moore, called him a white supremacist. All kinds of network news called him a white supremacist, and that was the thing. There's a lot of talk about gun control and what the Kamala Harris administration is going to do with gun control. Should they, you know, and I'm still hopeful. I keep hearing that something, quote, big is going to happen in the next, something big is going to happen in the next few days. There's still this long shot that it takes one congressman to object to the electoral votes. and one senator to elect to the object to the electoral votes, and I'm hearing that that might happen. And then there's a constitutional mechanism that goes into place for how they determine who will be the next president. So I still haven't given up. I'm trying not to be on that emotional roller coaster day to day of whether Trump, whatever happens with Trump, what we need, what we have to have is election reform. Because that election was stolen. You know it, I know it, everybody knows it. And the fact that we're here in Wisconsin is even worse, because in Wisconsin, if they can steal a presidential election, I believe they stole Scott Walker's election. I believe they probably stole the Supreme Court election last spring when Daniel Kelly was voted out. So, and Daniel Kelly was a great justice. So we'll see. If we don't have election reform, we can't win the governors in Wisconsin. We can't win a statewide race like Supreme Court. We can't win a U.S. Senate race. We'll have congressmen, because those aren't statewide races. And I think the areas where those races are, the elections are relatively honest. That'll change once the liberals realize that they can cheat in Milwaukee and other places. I mean, we have to have election reform. Nothing else matters. It's if you gave me a choice and said, what would you rather have, Trump for a second term or election reform? I would say election reform. Of course, I want both. I think if we got Trump for a second term, we'll get election reform. But Trump's only got one more term to serve. We're going to have elections for the remainder of this country's existence. We need election reform. Oh, you know what I was going to do? I had an email from a listener that I better get to here. Here it is. Listener, my friend Tom, said, glad to see Weller Radio is back in the air. Now I know why he hates Facebook so much. Tom, get it right. It's fascist book. Come on now. He said he was going to call into the show and pose the question if we are really a free country anymore, but I beat him to it. I also agree. He agrees that we aren't. Look at the unconstitutional decrees going on with many citizens just blindly obeying them, and judges and politicians, Voss, Fitzgerald, being too cowardly to fight back. It seems most people don't even want to be free, and they're taking us down with them. Absolutely. I believe that. I can't believe, and that just even here locally in New Berlin, I can't believe how people don't fight back. I can't believe that. I mean, I'm in the midst of a fight with the school district because I refuse to wear a mask and I want to go watch my daughter's basketball games. I don't want to offend anybody else. So I'm going to happily stay social distance. I'll even, you know, keep it to 20 feet because I don't know. So I don't go anywhere near anybody. But so I'm fighting that battle. But I mean, but everybody else, all the other parents, they just roll over, put their mask on, obey. And that just shocks me how many people, I mean, I'm encouraged by some of the stuff I see nationally with how many people are pissed and they realize this election was stolen. But then again, you look here at people, you know, and I see so little fight from people. There's just so few people fighting back. People should be pissed. And even if they are pissed, they should be more outwardly pissed. Because I know there's people that are pissed, but they're not doing anything about it. Back to the email here. I had an idea to propose regarding vote fraud. It seems that the populist liberal counties are the ones that magically find votes the next day or whatnot that are just enough to give the liberal candidate over the top. What if the conservative counties banded together and withheld reporting their vote totals until the liberal counties had already done so? You know, it's not a bad idea, not giving the liberal counties the number of what to, but I think then it just turns into a game of chicken. I mean, the longer the conservative counties hold their numbers, the longer the liberal counties will just hold theirs. So I don't know that, you know, there's, I just don't feel like there's a mechanism by which you could make that work. Because you know, this is what I thought. Some people say, oh, the libertarians are all proud of themselves because their margin of their vote total was larger than the margin of victory, I believe, in Wisconsin. I'm not 100% positive, but I'm pretty sure the libertarian, as I like to call them, Libertarian Party, they had more votes than the margin of, in this case, supposed loss for Donald Trump. And libertarians love that. They think that makes them relevant. I don't in this case, because I think that, first off, a lot of those libertarians, if there wasn't a libertarian candidate in the ballot, do I think they would have voted for Trump? No, I don't. Do I think, but here's the thing. I think if every one of those 23,000, I should Google it here quick. Let's see. Libertarian vote total Wisconsin 2020. All right, let's see here. Wisconsin election results. Oh, this one doesn't have the mail-in. Yeah. Just doesn't show. I picked a bad link here. Let me try a different one. This doesn't really matter. I'm pretty sure the libertarian part. Oh, Wisconsin, Joe Jorgensen. Let's see. What is it saying here? Joe Jorgensen. Does it show her vote totals? Oh, here we go. Jorgensen, who ran alongside Myrtle Beach, South Carolina resident Spike Cohen, earned 38,414 votes in Wisconsin, according to the Associated Press. Results on Thursday morning showed President Trump lost the state by roughly 20,000 votes. So the libertarians are real proud that they've taken a larger, they have a larger vote total than the margin of loss for Trump. And they think that that's going to give them leverage and play, and people are going to want to pay attention to them, and they're going to want to attract the libertarian vote. But here's the thing. There is no doubt in my mind that if the libertarians weren't on the ballot, or even if every one of those libertarians had voted for Trump, he would have still lost, because the Democrats would have just manufactured 39,000 more votes. So even in this case, I think even the Libertarian Party has been rendered even more irrelevant than they are, because even though their vote total was higher than the margin of loss, because I believe that there was vote fraud, 100% I believe there was vote fraud, I think they would have just manufactured more votes. If Donald Trump had gotten 30,000 more votes, they would have found 30,000 more votes for Joe Biden. That's my belief. So I don't know. I don't know if that would work, that liberal counties, conservative counties banding together and withholding their vote totals, because I think the liberal counties will just withhold their vote totals as well. And then you get down to the thing is, and you know this as well as I do, Tom, liberals always fight harder than conservatives. They just do. So the Republicans, for a number of reasons, some good and some bad. I mean, Republicans want to do the right thing. The Republicans, they're going to want to get their vote totals out there. They just, the Republicans, it wouldn't work. Conservatives wouldn't do it. I see what you're saying, but I don't see it unfortunately working. And I am still trying to think of something too. I mean, I don't know. Something's going to happen here. There's too many people pissed. Something's going to hit the fan. I don't know what it is, but it'll be something. Next thing I was going to hit up on here tonight, I got 12 minutes left in the show here, 11 minutes left now. So I'll try to hit this topic pretty quick, because I think it's there's a lot of talk now about what kind of gun control we're going to get from the Harris administration. Of course, the actual article I'm reading from says six gun control measures to expect from a Biden administration. You and I both know it's going to be Harris administration. But here they are. I want to read these off. The six, banning pistol braces is one. Banning homemade firearms is two. Banning online firearm and ammunition sales is three. Banning assault weapons is four. Banning high-capacity magazines is five. And then universal background checks is six. You know, I disagree. This is an article from the Federalist that was posted in the Wisconsin Carry Group this week, and I disagree. I think that the gun control that we're going to – I don't think we're going to see an assault weapons ban. Well, now, and this could, if the Democrats get control of the Senate, if Biden is able to complete the steal and take office as president, and if Democrats get control of the Senate, then, you know, Katie bar the door. I think they're going to, I think the Democrats will just push through everything that they want. I think they'll push through an assault weapons ban. Those are things that traditionally they stayed away from. But here's the thing. Recently, Democrats, I think, learned the lesson, because the Democrats controlled when Obama was in office, they had the presidency, the Senate, and the House. And they didn't push, they rammed through Obamacare. And then they had to, because of the Scott Brown election in Massachusetts, that was the 51st voter or something that was a tie-breaking vote or something, then they had to reconcile Obamacare through the, or complete Obamacare through the reconciliation process. But they didn't pass immigration reform. They didn't pass an assault weapons ban during Obama's first term when they had control of everything. During that time, I think they were afraid politically to do it. I still think they're afraid politically to do it, except that now, with their ability to steal an election, I think they're less worried about the political consequences of doing something like passing an assault weapons ban, because they think that they can overcome whatever anger that they would come about. And look, the here's the thing. The liberals, the Democrats know they cheated. They know they cheated. They know exactly how many votes they manufactured. And if they get away with it, they'll know they can do it again. So for that reason, we're entering an era where prior, you know, you can't, there's a saying in investments, you can't predict past performance isn't necessarily indicative of future performance or future returns. Past performance isn't going to be indicative of future performance from liberals, because if liberals successfully steal this election, then they don't have to be afraid of voter backlash. And I think that for the during Obama's first term, for sure, because Bill Clinton said it. Bill Clinton once said that it was a mistake to go after, you know, the assault weapons ban, that cost them big losses and stuff. Gun control is a mistake politically. It is a mistake at the voting booth. But again, look what's happening. If we're not, if the voting booth doesn't matter, and I contend right now the voting booth doesn't matter, that might change in the next few, you know, weeks here. But right now, the voting booth doesn't matter. So, yeah, I think they will ram through everything they want if they get the Senate. And we'll find out how well they can cheat, if they are able to cheat. I believe if that election in Georgia is an honest one, both those Republicans get elected to office and we have a Republican Senate. But the way that they're going to push through gun control, see, this is the thing that I think people are overlooking. If they have to play the political games, they're not going to go trying to ban assault weapons. Again, if they don't have the Senate, I don't see them trying to ban assault weapons. They're going to push very hard the common sense gun laws. In the high capacity magazines too, I don't think that'll be it's going to be the universal background checks and the red flag laws, because the thing that the Democrats are most afraid of is an armed citizenry. To a Democrat, if you are an armed citizen, you are a white supremacist. And people think, you know, some of this stuff that people propose about domestic terrorism and white supremacy, and people think, oh, well, that doesn't apply to me, so whatever. People should need to remember that in the eyes of the Democrats in this country, you know, you're not racist, you're not whatever, but to Democrats, you are a white supremacist. You will be labeled a white supremacist if you're white and you go armed in a group of more than one, or even in the case of one, look at Kyle Rittenhouse, they will label you a white supremacist. That's the schmear, is if you're white and you're armed, you must be a white supremacist. If you're white and you're notably armed, you must be a white supremacist. That's how they're going to paint you. And then they're going to use red flag laws. And of course, they're going to red flag, and they're going to feel justified to red flag white supremacists, red flag hateful people, hateful. And then so you'll be red flagged. And then with universal background checks, which they'll push through as common sense. So that's what people need to watch out for, is it's the red flag laws and universal background checks. The assault weapons ban, I don't want to be wrong again. I've been wrong before. But unless they get the Senate, I really don't see an assault weapons ban coming. I just don't. I don't see magazine capacity bans coming at the national level. I do see a massive push for common sense gun laws, red flag laws, and universal background checks, because that's all they need. With red flag laws and universal background checks, they don't get forget assault weapons. It'll be legal to own assault weapons, but it won't be legal for you to own assault weapons. I mean, it'll be legal to, that's the thing I told people, if it doesn't matter if you have your concealed carry license, whatever, if they can red flag you, and with universal background checks, they'll know what guns you have, and they'll have a mechanism to take them with the red flag laws. And so why bother fighting this gun control battle that makes them look like gun grabbers when they can fight this battle that they can position, because everybody knows gun control is going to apply to everybody. But if they fight this battle about universal background checks and these common sense gun laws, they can position that as a battle that they're fighting against, you know, criminals. No, this only applies to criminals. It's only going to affect criminals. And you and I know better. But the other thing is self-defense is the big thing under attack here. Kyle Rittenhouse's case is so critically important because self-defense is what's really under attack. It doesn't matter if you have a, it doesn't matter if we get constitutional carry in the state of Wisconsin. It doesn't matter if you can carry your gun without a permit anywhere you want to go. If anytime you use a gun, it becomes de facto murder. I mean, Kyle Rittenhouse's case is to me appears so clear self-defense, but that's how they squelch right to carry. Cause if you're going to go to jail for using your gun, people are going to say, forget it. I'll just leave the gun at home and I'll just take my chances with whatever, less than lethal force, defending myself physically. Because if self-defense becomes, if they can push that line to where self-defense, to where it's not really possible to defend yourself and not get charged with a crime, that's the biggest chilling of the right to carry that could be, because what purpose is there to carry? Now, it's also true that 90% of the time when a gun is pulled in self-defense, it's not fired in self-defense. But that's all based upon the fact that a criminal historically knew that it was legal. That's why law-abiding citizens have the upper hand, because criminals, they know they're going to jail if they assault you, but they know you're not going to jail if you defend yourself against them. They know you can shoot them and you won't go to jail. But if they think that you will go to jail for shooting them, think of how emboldened people will be, criminals will be. You pull a gun on a criminal, and what's a criminal going to say? Yeah, you pull that trigger, you're going to jail. Literally, that's what they'll say. That's what people will think, and they won't be wrong. If self-defense is turned into a crime. So that's what we got to watch out for here, is the fact that self-defense is going to get turned into a crime. It already has with Kyle Rittenhouse. That's why his case is so important. And I just sit there and think, man, what could have been if Kyle Rittenhouse, like in a different county, like I'm convinced in Walworth County, Kyle Rittenhouse wouldn't have been charged with a crime. In Waukesha County, Kyle Rittenhouse wouldn't have been charged with a crime. And that would have put an end to these riots. Just for one person to be able to stand up and fight back against these looting, rioting, violent people and defend themselves. That would have chilled not chilled protests, because the Black Lives Matter people, they're going to do their daytime protests and their march and whatever, but it would have chilled these nighttime riots and loots in the future, because someone fought back and then the violent looters and liberals, violent looters and rioters, they had to think, man, I could be risking my life if I go down here. Anyway, all right, guys, that's the show for tonight. Thank you for tuning in. Got a couple people in here. I think I'm doing a show next week. I'm not 100% positive. I think I'm going to do a show next week. You know, Christmas is on Friday, so by Sunday I figure things will be calmed down. And so, yeah, I'm thinking I'll do a show next week. Maybe it'll kind of depend on how many topics I pick up, if there's stuff to talk about. But you guys have a great week. Carry on. Be well armed.
This is Sniper Chick Julie. You've been listening to Well Armed Radio, and I have to know, Is that a gun in your pants, or did you just really enjoy the show?
Stop listening to the bombastic loudmouths on the radio and television and the internet. To hell with them.